Welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. No strange, creepy crawlies or bits of kangaroos we'd rather not mention on this podcast. Just a look at the world of public health, which was hit this week with the news we were all expecting. Standing up in front of our House of Commons that would certainly have been put on the naughty step by Miss Light if they behaved like that at Hollybark Infants in 1965, Chancellor George Osborne showed more sleight of hand than a member of the Magic Circle, announcing a £3.8 billion increase in the NHS budget from next year, as part of an overall £10 billion increase by 2020. All well and shiny on the outside, although Mr. O still seems to think everything NHS related can be solved by throwing money at it, in an attempt to demonstrate he's willing to pay more than the last lot. But let's have a look behind the scenes, where I'm sure a room full of spin doctors were guiding George's every move, which reminds me, put a pair of glasses on him, who you got? Brains from Thunderbirds. Or is it just me? Anyway, back to the plot. If the NHS is going to be £3 billion better off, it won't surprise you to know somebody's got to pay for it. And it seems it's the Department of Health who's been left with a nice Christmas bill, having a cool £1.5 billion cut from their coffers. That money is for central and local administration, clinical training, including junior doctors, and let's not go there, as we could be here all day. The Care Quality Commission and the General Medical Council, who of course should be checking that the NHS do something useful with the extra £3 billion. And last but definitely not least, public health. So whilst local authorities are about to receive another kicking in the shape of a reduced revenue support grant, one of their few areas of ring-fence finance will be subject to a 3.9% real-time cut. Yeah, beggars belief, doesn't it? And we're not the only ones. The King's Fund and the District Council's network both weighed in before the autumn statement, trying to make George realise that chopping the services that deal with the wider determinants of health will undoubtedly increase the queue at the NHS door and gobble up that extra £3.8 billion in no time. Despite all the warnings, though, directors of the public health now face some stark choices in the months to come. And some of us are left thinking of that part in Fawlty Towers. You remember it, where Basil says to Manuel, "Please understand before one of us dies." I'll tell you what, that'd be funny if it wasn't so horribly near the truth. It's happy birthday to the Food Hygiene Rating Scheme, which turned 5 this week, and to celebrate, the Food Standards Agency decided to give some of the country's biggest companies a pat on the back. Looking at 20 high street chains, they calculated that JD Wetherspoons and Pret A Manger were the cream of the crop. Of 732 Wetherspoons throughout the country, 93.1% achieved 5-star ratings, while in 227 out of 244 Pret A Mangers, they got the same top mark. At the other end of the scale, Cafe Nero and Hungry Horse, no sniggering at the back please, have work to do, with only 66% of their premises getting top marks. The FSA were still chuffed with the results, although it's still a mystery to us why the display of ratings is not compulsory in England as it is in Wales. You can bet that every Wetherspoons will have theirs proudly on the window. But what we really want to know is those places to avoid. Despite that, the scheme has proved popular everywhere, but Rutland, who stand alone as the King Canutes of the Food Hygiene Rating Scheme, preferring to adopt their own method instead. Staying with our friends at the FSA and following a successful trial, they're planning to increase their use of social media as an aid to tracking potential outbreaks of foodborne illness. By monitoring a variety of hashtags, the FSA discovered that they could identify outbreaks much quicker than by traditional methods. No one's letting on what the hashtags were, but as you can imagine, I'm sure they're not for those of us of a weaker constitution. Professor Guy Poppy, who's been working alongside PhD students from universities in Sheffield, York and Leeds, is convinced, though. He claims that his team were able to spot a norovirus outbreak up to 2 weeks before Public Health England. The team are now going to look at whether Twitter could be used to pick up other issues regarding food. All good stuff, but ironically, you'll still find back in local government, where environmental health departments are a great source of intelligence, few staff are allowed access to social media. I once had an interesting conversation with a prominent counsellor which went along the lines of, do you know there's still one important group of people your social media messages never reach? Who is that? Came the reply. The staff, because they're banned from looking at social media in the same building that's sending out the messages. Mentalists have welcomed the news that Britain's remaining coal-fired power stations will be phased out by 2025 in an attempt to cut carbon emissions. Department of Energy and Climate Change will begin a consultation next spring, setting out proposals to close all coal-fired power stations which are not equipped to capture and store their carbon emissions within the next 10 years. The UK currently relies on coal for a third of its electricity, and the government is looking to switch to lower carbon gas and nuclear plants as part of a new direction for energy policy. Filing this issue, while we might be getting cleaner energy, it won't do much to address fuel poverty, which as the temperature drops has started to hit the news once again. Half of low-income households are struggling to afford their energy costs despite being in work, according to research by a national charity. Turn to us, says people with disabilities and families with working parents are among the hardest hit. Said a third of those surveyed were forced to skip meals and more than a fifth suffered stress and other mental health problems. Last year, there were 43,900 excess winter deaths in England and Wales, the biggest yearly increase since records began. That's all we got time for, except for a quick message for everyone at the Department of Health. See you in a couple of weeks. I'm a public health professional, get me out of here is written, presented and produced by Peter Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.